Great. Well, what we've heard today is what today is all about, which is making a fundamental life decision. A fundamental life decision of what you are going to base your life on, what you're going to set your life on. In other words, what you are going to make your number one. Now, the reality is that we all have our number ones. We all have things or people that we set our life on. We all worship. Now, you might think that sounds strange because this might be the first time you've ever been in a church and you've kind of not even worked out what's going on yet. You're saying, do I really worship? Well, the reality is we all worship. Don't believe me? How many of you have a mobile phone? How many of you have a smartphone? So how much time do you spend your life like this? Maybe your phone is your object of worship, or at least the content that it is bombarding you with. We all have our number ones, but today, Megan and Ellis have decided to declare, and we'll do it in the most splish, splash, splosh way, that Jesus is their number one. But they are doing that not because we have told them to, not because their families have suggested them that they ought to, but because they are responding to what God has already done for them in Jesus Christ. See, I want you to imagine that you are lost in a dark place, but at the moment you don't realize that you're lost in a dark place, but nevertheless you are in this lost dark place. Now in that place, God sees you and God decides to come and rescue you from that dark place. But the trouble is, between God and you in your dark place is this great big chasm that is so deep and scary, but nevertheless, God chooses to cross the chasm to rescue you from your dark place. But you know, this chasm is so big and so wide and so deep that even as God comes across to rescue you, he sadly falls in and plunges to his death. But no matter, God is bigger than death. God is bigger than our lives. God is bigger than anything that can be thrown at our lives. And God comes out of the chasm alive again, up the other side, to meet with you in your lostness and rescue you back out and save you. And then you realize that is what God has done. In sending Jesus to live as a human, to walk with people, but then to go to the cross and die, fall into the deep chasm. But God is bigger than death. And Jesus comes alive again and meets with people and rescues them. That is what Ellis and Megan have discovered for themselves. And so now their fundamental decision to make him number one is a response to what Jesus has done for them. And their desire now is to work out what it means for their lives to be a life of worship with him as number one. Now, as they both said so eloquently, they won't always be perfect at that. They will make mistakes, there will be struggles, things don't magically all change overnight. But their decision is to sink their lives into Jesus, because he has already come for them. That's why in the baptism we go right down into the water, our lives sunk into him. But you know, the good news is that Jesus is alive and he will bring us back up to new life. And so they do come back up again. They do come back up. The parents might be pleased about that. Into a new life of worship. Now, as I say, things aren't always perfect. But here's the thing. If you remember just one thing from this morning, remember this. When we worship Jesus, When we make him our number one in our life and set our life by him, things change. Things change in our life. Things change around us. When we worship, things change. There's an organization that run big Christian youth festivals, and every summer they attract thousands and thousands of young people into a big marquee or a big conference center, and they have loud music and lights and that, but it's all about worshiping Jesus. And there's these thousands of young people joining in or standing watching the worship of Jesus. And on one occasion, one of the leaders, as he stood at the front and the bands were playing their music and all the kids were joining in, he realized that one of the kids was coming towards him with a little paper bag. And the kid came up to him and said, this worship is great. It's blowing my mind. Let me give you this bag. I won't be needing this stuff anymore. And he left him with the bag and the kid disappeared back into the crowds. The leader looked into the bag and there was some packets of condoms. The kids in the worship realized that he wouldn't be needing those anymore. And so he handed them in. And then a few minutes later, another kid appeared completely randomly from another part. And he had a bag as well. And he said almost exactly the same thing. The worship here is incredible. Here, you have this. I won't be needing this anymore. Kid disappeared into the crowd. He looks into the bag and there was drugs and marijuana and all kinds of stuff for him to dispose of, because the kid in worship won't be needing this anymore. You see, when we worship, things change in us and around us. God's priorities become our priorities. And then we want to work that out in practice. You see, worship is not simply just standing and singing songs, although we love to do that and that's great. Worship is actually our whole life and what we do practically. That's why in this church, in discovering the heart of God and his heart for the oppressed and those who are in trouble and those who are in crisis, those who are in difficult circumstance, we cannot help ourselves but find ourselves organizing all kinds of things like the food bank and the debt relief center and coming alongside young mums who are struggling, because his priorities become our priorities. Who's got a notice sheet in front of them? Look at the notice sheet in the top corner and the logo for the church. And see the wording on that logo. It says, seeking to worship, seeking to serve. You see, when we worship, his priorities become our priorities, and we want to put that into practice. So our upward worship to God becomes our practical service to the world around, to the people around us in this city. But you know, as we go out and we expend ourselves in all the kinds of things that the people in this church do, that takes energy, that takes all kinds of stuffing out of us, because we meet all kinds of difficult and tough situations and we wonder, how are we going to continue to do this? But the answer is to worship, which is why we have seeking to worship, seeking to serve. Connected together. We can't worship without serving, and we can't serve without worshiping. They go together. That's who we are as a church. But who do you try and be? Are you the kind of person who always wants to look cool? Are you the kind of person who always puts on a front of bravado? Or are you the person who just desperately wants to fit in? Are you the kind of person who asserts themselves, puts a bit of stick about to try and get your way? Well, when you receive the rescue of Jesus and turn your life to set him as number one and worship him, none of these become necessary, because you find who you really are in him. And you discover that he enables you to face all kinds of situations, even when people start chucking stuff at you and coming at you in direct opposition. He enables you to stand there because of your worship and setting him as number one. And that's where those stories that we had in the poem come in. The first one from ages and ages and ages ago is this big, nasty army amassing all their troops and forces and then coming against the king and his people. There is no way the king and his people can stand against these massed armies. But the king remembers something. He remembers to make God number one. And remembers that his role as king is to call his people to be a people of worship. So do you know what the king does? The armies are coming and he's got to go out and face those armies. Well, he does that. But he does something completely incredible, and to you it will sound utterly stupid. You see, to put it in modern day language, he finds Naomi and says, Naomi, bring out your portable piano. Make sure the batteries are charged up because you're going to need them. And Steve, bring some drums out as well. Piano here, drums here, we'll have guitarists and we'll have singers, and we are going to sing our praises and worship to God in face of this advancing army. Sounds nuts, doesn't it? Absolutely stark raving bonkers. But that's what they do. They make God their number one and they worship. And when we worship, things change. The advancing army gets thrown into confusion. They start attacking and killing each other. And they get all kind of messed up and melt away. And the king and his people have not had to fire a single arrow and have victory that day. Wind forward to the next story. The first story was way before the time of Jesus. The next story is just after the time of Jesus. Now, Jesus is now seen alive, and Paul is one of the people who have met him as an alive person. And he's got a friend, Silas, and other friends. And because they follow Jesus, they make him his number one. They love to tell everyone about how good it is to know Jesus. And they travel all over the place telling people about knowing Jesus. The problem is, not everyone wants to hear that. Some people feel threatened by this good news. And an angry mob come against Paul and Silas and his friends, and they have the authorities beat them up and throw them into prison. Now, what would you and I feel if you'd have been trying to tell people about Jesus and then an angry mob had come against us and we'd been beaten up with sticks and rods and then locked up, bound in chains in the deepest dungeon in the common prison? You and I, we would feel pretty miserable, wouldn't we? We'd feel, this is rubbish. Why did they even join Paul to start telling about Jesus in the first place? What on earth is this all about? But not Paul and his friends. Do you know what they did? There in the dungeon, in the dark, in the middle of the night, they said, I know, let's have a singing competition. Let's see how many Christian choruses we can sing between now and dawn here in the cell. And that's what they did, and they just started singing their praises to Jesus. The other convicts, the murderers, the robbers and the scoundrels all locked up as well in the prison, of course, must have thought this was nuts at first. But then they started listening in. And as Paul and that were singing, suddenly there was this kind of rumbling in the background and then a shaking and then it went worse. And then the whole prison started to fall about because it was an earthquake and all the walls started falling down, the doors busted off the hinges and the chains came loose and the prisoners worked out that they can now be free. The jailer woke up. He was petrified. One, because there was an earthquake going on around him, which is scary enough. And two, because he thought, oh no, the doors have gone, the chains have gone, my prisoners will be gone. And he's running through his mind and he's thinking, well, my Roman authorities, the paymasters, I know what they're going to say to me in the morning. They're going to say, Mr. Jailman, you had one job to keep those prisoners locked up. And have you done that? No, you've let them all escape. And he's thinking, they're not going to accept the excuse that there was an earthquake. And he knew that in those times that if you let the prisoner escape, you just let one prisoner escape, then you get it in the neck. And so he comes in petrified and scared with this, but Paul and his friends and the other prisoners are still there. I say, come on in, join us. We're having a praise party, it's wonderful. Come and join. And James is going, yeah, but you've all escaped, I'm going to die. He said, no, you too can be saved by believing in Jesus, who has crossed the chasm, has died, but is now alive for you. And the jailer accepts that. He's baptized later that day, and he makes them food and breakfast, looks after them. So there's a story from just under 2,000 years ago, the first story 2,700 years ago. Let me tell you a third story from the last 5 years. In the middle of South Africa, somewhere in the sticks, there are these Christians who run an AIDS orphanage. The little boys and girls, 5, 6 years old, who have lost their parents because of AIDS, are brought, and they make their home in this orphanage that the Christians run, and they've got a school there, they've got medical facilities, there's housing, and it's a wonderful, wonderful facility. It looks after loads and loads of children each year. But because it is so well resourced and looks so good, around in the countryside are bandits. And those bandits are jealous. And they see this facility, and they see all the food they've got and the money and the resources they've got, and they think, we want to have that. And they come in to attack. The Christians who are running this place know that there's nowhere that they can turn. They can't phone the police. They're miles out in the sticks. The police would take hours to get here. The bandits will overrun them first. The bandits have said, we've got it in for you, and they're taking them seriously. So what can the Christians do? There's nowhere to run. So they round up all the children and say, meet in our central hall that we've got at this complex. And they come in and they start leading them in songs of worship, singing their praise to Jesus, because they make God in Jesus their number one, and they set their lives as worship. So there they are singing, and the bandits penetrate the perimeter fence and come in and start mooching around the compound. But then the bandits hear the children singing. And one by one, the bandits turn round and leave the compounds, having done minimal damage and taken virtually nothing. The compounds, the leaders, and the children are safe. Because when we worship, things change around us. Now, who in those stories had the greater guts? With the king and the vast, nasty army attacking, who had the greater guts? Was it the king or was it the nasty army? When Paul was thrown into prison by the mob, who had the greater guts? Was it Paul and Silas, or was it the mob who had them beaten up? Who had the more guts? In South Africa, where the bandits were coming and they were going to ransack the village and the compound and take all their stuff, who had the greater guts? Was it the bandits, or whether the Christians and the children they were looking after? You see, to make Jesus your number one, to live your life as a life of worship, is not a wimpy option. Some people think that Christians are just kind of take this wimpy line. But it takes guts to be in any of those situations. It takes guts to make Jesus your number one. This whole series that we as a church are going through this term is inviting the men to say, what are you made of? Where is your metal? Where is your spine, your backbone when it comes to your faith? When you're going out there into your workplace or to a home life or wherever, and you're seeing these difficult, distorted, troublesome, tricky situations, do you have what it takes to stand for Jesus and make him your number one. But here's the thing. When we make that stand, and opposition comes and people come to attack, which that will inevitably happen. That's my encouragement for Ellis and Megan today. Opposition will come. But when that opposition comes, if you've made that fundamental decision to stand for Jesus and say, he is my number one, and so whatever you chuck at me, I am still going to worship. Here's a strange thing that happens. It becomes not about any strength that you might have or any brawn or metal that you might have. It's about his strength that he puts in you. So when that opposition comes, you can still stand because he in you is way greater than anything anyone can chuck at you. And every one of us in here today, whether you are male or female, young or old, can know that rescue of Jesus and know that strength that he will put in you if you dare to make him your number one. And say, I am going to worship no matter what. So my closing question for all of you today is, do you have the guts to do that? Do you dare to make him your number one and receive him and work out what it means to follow him living a life of worship? We're going to pray together. And as we pray, I'm going to pray a simple prayer that invites you to echo in your heart and to make it your own. If you want to put your hand up and say, yeah, actually, for me, today is the day where I need to start following Jesus to have him as my number one, then echo this prayer in your heart and follow after me. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have already reached out to us. You have crossed the great divide. You have been there down into death, but are now alive again for me. I receive you now. I'm sorry for going my own way. I'm sorry that I've made myself number one so many times. But now, Lord Jesus, you be my number one. I give my life to you. I want to follow you. I want to live a life that is set in your priorities because it's a life of worship. Come and give me your strength to face the day as a worshipper of you. Amen. we dare to believe. We put our trust in you and lift you as number one. Because you are able. Any battle, you will fight for us. Any difficulty, you will carry us through. Because it's about you and your purposes and your victory already won. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, please do take a seat, except Ellis and Megan. Do come and join us at the front here. I'm going to ask you four questions. I might have said when we rehearsed this, there are three questions. I lied. There's four. But the answer is always I do. So, Megan and Ellis, do you believe in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you want to state publicly that Jesus Christ is your Lord, your number one, because he has saved you? And do you admit that there are things that have been wrong in your life, but you resolve to turn from those in the strength that Jesus gives you to follow him?
I do.
Finally, do you want to join with other believers serving God's purpose out in the world?
I do.
Cool. Well, you can be baptized. So we invite the children to come and sit near the front. I just need to do some pyrotechnics with the camera. So Ellis is going to go first. Excuse me. Okay, guys, I'm gonna put this on the screen. Maybe some of the young people might kneel down behind. Excuse me, problem with the camera. Excuse me, I'm just going to get the camera. Okay, off you go. Yeah.
Dear Jesus, we just thank you for Ellis. We thank you for her testimony earlier. We thank you how she just wants to give her life to you. We just thank you that she can see she doesn't need to be perfect, be your Lord, so that she just has to love you and have faith in you. We pray now you bless her as she walks through her life, knowing that you're her son. We pray that you reveal your plan to her each day. Amen.
So, Ellis, you've said that you want Jesus to be number one in your life. It's with great joy that we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. set us free to be fully the person that you wanted to be. Lord, we ask that you would bless her now and in the days ahead.
Jesus, we just thank you for Mabel. We just thank you for her life. We thank you how you've blessed her. We thank you for those who've blessed her in her growth and her development, who's the people who've helped her to come to this day. We pray now that you bless her as she walks forward in your name. And we just thank you. We thank you for her radiance, for her happiness, for her joy. We pray to just lift her when she's low and lift her back up to the height in need. We just thank you for her. Amen.
People like to kind of disperse back. We are going to continue singing while they get changed. And it's been a joy to share.
children to come up, but adults, don't relax too much just now. This is the children's slot, but I've got some work for you to do as well, so hold on. So can the children come up? Hello, Noah. Hiya. I want you to keep on your feet. Keep on your feet, please. Right, so we've been looking at two stories today, and we, together, are going to do a one-act play. No rehearsals has there been, none at all, so it will look all random and a little bit hectic. But we're going to give a shot to a story that I think you'll know. And on the back of the script, the blurb would say, Paul, praising, preaching, prison, earthquake, free. So does that, I think that story you're probably a little bit aware of. Do you know that story? But if you don't, yep, good. Noah knows it. That's good. We're on. We are on. So we know that Paul and his friends love to walk around the cities telling people about Jesus. So can you go chat, 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 look at everybody, say chat, chat, you need to know about Jesus. Turn around, look at the congregation. Chat, chat, tell them they must follow Jesus. Do this. Well, this was all very good for some people, but some people got really cross about this. They didn't like it. So what they did, they rounded them up and put them into prison. So can you go on the floor? You're in prison, right? And we're going to sit there and maybe stretch your legs out, cross your legs like this. And maybe you can link arms. Can you link arms? Can you, so like, they can be your chains. If you sat back a bit, Isaac, that's it. Are we linked arms? Oh dear, we're in prison now and we were doing so well. We were out on the streets telling people about Jesus and here's Paul and his friends in prison. Oh, what's it like being in prison? Is it not nice? Have you got lots of food? Have you got Domino's delivering? Are Domino's coming? They're not, are they? No. I've just been reading a book about prisoners, about the war 100 years ago, and it was tough. They were lonely. You think you'd be lonely in prison? They were scared and frightened and hungry. These prisoners used to get a tiny, tiny piece of bread every day in some horrible, sloppy water. Ugh, it sounded disgusting. But Paul and his friends in their prison, they weren't lonely, they weren't frightened, and they thought, do you know what? We're in a bad place, but we're going to do something about this. We are going to worship. So even in their chains, keeping their chains, can you link your arms still? Can you do that still? Right, and this is where we need the audience. I need half the audience to sing along with Noemi and my prisoners, and the other half to be the earthquake or the thunder. So you could do some stamping, some clapping, some roaring. And this is what happened in the story that Carl was talking about earlier. So can we sing? We're going to sing My Lighthouse, okay? Okay, so this half are my singers. This half are my storm and earthquake and everything. Okay? Are we ready for this? You can stay where you are. Okay, we're going. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will cross the promise. As it keeps turning up. Oh, we can't do the actions, can we? Well, I think the singing beat the roar, didn't it? But the roar in that time with Paul and his friends was so strong, it came ripping through the dungeon and pow, blew the door off. Pow. Can you all lay back? Go, pow, blew the door off. Oh, gosh, the chains fell off. Oh, my goodness, we can get up. But stay still, because what could they have done then? Could they have run away? They could have run away, but they didn't. They stayed there. And I forgot a key element of our one-act drama. I forgot my jail keeper. But the jail keeper comes in and he's scared and he says, oh no, they're going to be gone. They're going to be gone and I'm going to be for the sword. And then he opened the door and there they all were. There was Paul and his friends. And he said, don't worry, we're here. And the prison keeper took the sword and he's like, no, this is terrible. I'm going to kill myself. And they said, no, just stop. Look, we're here. And they were. And the jailkeeper said, this is a day. This is such a great day. And he said, I'm going to believe in your Jesus and I want you to take me home and get me baptized along with my family. And that story today is a little bit like, well, it's a lot like what has happened with Ellis and Megan today. And they can feel, sometimes in our lives, we can feel a bit trapped, can't we? And we think, oh, what's life doing? And work pressure and studying and all sorts of pressures from friends and even our phones. But Jesus says, you needn't do that. You need not live like that at all. Follow me and show your friends and your family how much you love me by doing just that. Go and get wet one morning and show them. And you'll go down in the water. And Jed and Helen didn't keep them there, did they? They weren't going to keep them trapped in the water. They lifted them up. And I'm sure they both felt, wow, that what a lovely, lovely experience to feel free. And they won't feel free every day. But with Jesus with them, with us and with Megan and Ellis, they'll do those days that are not so good a little bit better, because they'll know that Jesus is with them. So, thank you for my one-act drama. It went better than I was thinking. But we did forget the jailkeeper. So, thank you. Do you want to go back to your seats? And we're going to end the service.
Great. Well, this is a fun part of the service where we share things that we feel God is saying for Ellis and Megan. So I wonder, maybe if you come to the front again now that you're recovered. Yeah, that's it. Oh, come on. I've got a card for each of you anyway. And Megan, when I was praying, I felt that a verse for you would be this one, which is from a letter that Peter wrote. His first letter, chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, that says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So that's for you. And for Ellis, when I was praying, I thought about your OCD and all that you were saying, and plans, and this verse came to mind. There's a section of the Bible called Proverbs, and it's just filled with sayings. And this is chapter 16, verse 3, which says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So a good verse for you. So that's for you. But now it's open mic time. If anyone has anything to share, you need to grab my attention, and I will chuck the mic at you, and you can share it. So Karen and, yeah. Natalie first, yeah.
For Megan, just the verse in Proverbs, which is verse 22, chapter 22, sorry, verse 4, which says, humility is the fear of the Lord. It wages, its wages are riches and honor and life. And I just feel like you're a very humble person and just, you will be rewarded.
Megan, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And for Ellis, Proverbs 31:25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come.
First of all, for Megan, I have a verse that I know I have shared with her before. Blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him, for she shall be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So I just want to encourage you, Megan, you are that strong young tree growing by the living waters. I want to encourage you to keep seeing yourself that way, to keep sending down those roots through praise, through worship, through immersing in his word. And we're looking forward to seeing the Megan fruit that that produces.
Great.
Have one for Ellis.
Oh, yeah, good.
And for Ellis, I believe the Lord wanted me to bring from Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So, Ellis, I just want to encourage you. I think it fits with what you said. Remember that when God looks at you, your life is hidden in him, and his glory is your glory, and his righteousness is your righteousness.
Great, thank you.
For Alice, clearly the Lord is saying that you have a gift of teaching and preaching, and watch out for that. And I'm really looking forward to have you in our midst speaking the word of the Lord. Therefore, get closer to the word so much because you have a lot to give. For Megan, there is the word coming in my heart is peace. And you are a woman of peace and you will bring peace wherever you go. To any situation you're walking in. Therefore, again, closer to the Lord, because what you have and what's in your spirit, it will be very vital for a lot of situation in wherever you will go. Amen.
Ellis, when I was praying for both of you, God said, tell her I'll lead her. And he's given me a verse from John chapter 4, and it's verse 24, and I'll just read it. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. And my prayer for you, Ellis, is that God will so baptize you and so fill you with his Holy Spirit that it will bubble out of you and people will just see God so clearly in you and you will just experience being lifted up to his heavenly places with him. And Meg, I don't have a verse from the Bible, but you know, darling, God uses you to support me. He uses you to encourage me, but he uses you to support me, and I praise him for that. And I know that he will use you so much more over the years to come.
Great.
It's for you both, and no matter what life presents you with, it's always to remember this fundamental truth, and it's from Romans 8. Where it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
I also reiterate what Carol said, that you two should both realise how much you've blessed so many people in here already. There has been great excitement in our house for quite a few weeks about you getting baptised, and it's like a big party. And actually it is like a big party because, you know, you have given your lives to Christ, and that is amazing. When I was praying for you both, I came up with just the one thing that was really important to me and still is, that you will do all things through Christ who strengthens you in your life. And I'd just like to thank you both for such articulate and eloquent testimonies. And you just both showed an absolute maturity that I wish I had at your age. And I think you already know that, you know, Jesus is there for you, whatever, and it doesn't matter what is thrown at you. He will be there to strengthen you. So thank you so much for your maturity. It's such a witness to the other youth around you.
Great.
Yeah, just a word for both of you, really. As I was watching you getting baptised and just sort of asking the Lord, really, and he basically just said to me to tell you, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Never will I leave you nor forsake you. And I think as you go forwards now, you know, you just need to hold on to his promise that whatever comes, whatever happens, he will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. Whatever happens, you know, he's there for you. He's loved you from before time. He's going to love you till the end of time because that's who he is.
Okay, final call. Great. Well, it's been great to share with you. This is the point where I have a little nag, because do you notice that the girls sharing outnumbered the blokes sharing by a significant margin? Come on, guys, what are you made of? Right. Well done, Joshua. Good.
I've got one for both of you. There's an old sailor's adage or saying that you are married to the stars, and I just came up with a couple of things. May God be your stars to guide you. May God be your wind to drive you. May God be your ship to carry you. May God be your anchor to hold you. May God be your storm to test you. And may God be the rock to stand on.
Stand together and sing our final closing song, Blessed Be. Father God, we thank you. It's all about you, your grace poured out in Jesus. And now by your Spirit, we can sink our lives in you. That is what we propose to do. Amen. Amen. Remember that if you kind of made that decision, you echoed in prayer, and you haven't told anyone yet, even though we've had all this time, the songs, you need to do that. Come and find us, any leader or anyone, and tell us before you leave the building. There will be refreshments, so do stick around. You're all invited to stick around. And remember next week, especially for fathers, but everyone's welcome. It's going to be completely different in here. Our World Cup football special. That kind of gets going with a soft start at 10:15. Bless you all. It's been great to share this morning.